Welcome to Marketing Tips for Translators, a podcast with marketing and business tips and strategy specifically for freelance translators and interpreters. I'm your host, Tess Whitty, a longtime freelance translator with an education and professional background in marketing. Tune in to hear tips from my own experience or from other translators and industry experts. Hello and welcome to Marketing Tips for Translators. I hope you're all having a good day when and where you're listening to this. I have many freelancing parents listening to this podcast. I have done some episodes about it before, and this episode is also particularly for them. But even freelancers without children at home can get some productivity tips from this episode. So in this episode, we're going to talk about the very popular topic for freelancers, productivity and time management. And I think it's important to get input from many different sources. And today we're talking in particular about freelancing parents. This year has been especially challenging for freelancing parents. Many have had to adjust to children being home all day or doing school from home instead of school in school and preschool. And also parents have had to help them with remote education in many cases. So in this episode, I am chatting with a parent and a freelance translator in this exact situation. She has also given talks about productivity and time management before and about financial success before COVID happened, and I look forward to sharing her tips about this. But before I welcome her, a quick shout out to one of our listeners. This one goes to Lucy J in Belgium. She says that Tess's podcast is highly informative and useful. Her interviews are friendly. She manages to provide the listener with insight into the guest and a lot of information about the given topic. So thank you so much, Lucy, for your kind words and for taking the time to leave a review. I read every one of them, and it makes it, for me, it motivates me to keep doing these. Now I would like to welcome back Moira Mani to the podcast. Moira is the host of the popular Financial Success Summit, which she has run twice this year. She was on this podcast previously in episode 244, so not very long ago, where she talks about managing our cash flow. Welcome back to the podcast, Moira.
Hi, Tess, and hi, everyone. Thank you for having me again.
It's very good to have you here. And now, for people who did not hear the previous podcast, which I will, of course, link to in the show notes, tell us a brief Cliff Notes summary about your career in translation, and if there's any been changes since we last spoke, which wasn't very long ago in June.
So. Yeah, I don't think there were many changes or any changes.
Okay.
I've been a translator and proofreader since 2007. Uh-huh. That's when I started out in the industry part-time first, and then I went full-time. I translate from English into German, but also I work with a team of freelancers from German into English.
Okay.
I've taken up copywriting in May this year, and I also used to teach business English at various local companies, but since COVID, that's ended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And who are your clients?
My clients are mainly direct clients, mainly in the food industry, actually.
Okay.
And I've now sort of narrowed that down even further. And the ones that I'm targeting now are actually nutrition companies, so nutritional supplement companies.
Mm-hmm. In Germany, yes.
And then I also have a few... to actually agency clients.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. So you are working from home, correct?
Indeed, yes.
And you have two small children.
One.
One.
I have a 4-year-old son.
Okay. Okay. So how is that going? How do you schedule your time when you work at home with your son?
Yes. So it's challenging, of course. I want to give a shout out to all the parents listening. I think, well, my friend said last time we are all heroes, and I tend to agree.
Yes.
So, yes. So when he's at home, so I don't know about the situation over where you are, but over here the kids have now gone back to kindergarten.
Mm-hmm. So they have been here too.
Ah, okay. So it's somewhat less challenging, of course, now.
Mm-hmm.
But initially, we were both home all day. I might want to add that my husband is in the UK, so we didn't see each other from March to September. He came over 2 weeks ago for a long
weekend. That must have been really hard.
It was, yeah. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's still not easy, but we made that decision because he is working over there. And so, so I'm here with my son. So sometimes I do think I operate like a single parent.
Mm-hmm. Did you have help?
I did. I live near my mother and also my aunt. And they both, helped me with childcare.
and that still worked during COVID?
With the social distancing, of course. During the very strict lockdown, I don't even remember how many weeks that was now. But we were always allowed to go for walks with one other person from another household. So we did that. And we didn't do the strict social distancing thing with my mom, I must say. But with my aunt and also cousins and friends and things, we adhered to the rules and they weren't able to help with childcare during that time.
Mm-hmm. So how many hours is your son in kindergarten now?
He goes to kindergarten from 9 to 3 at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have, that's your main working time?
Yeah, that's my main working time. So, and during the time he was here, that was also my main working time, if you can call it that. But of course, it wasn't, uninterrupted working time.
Yes, yes. How do you structure your day, and what are your favorite productivity tips then for getting work done during
So in terms of scheduling my time, first of all, I avoid projects with tight deadlines, because I don't know, you always have to be ready for the unforeseen. And the good thing at the moment is that, or at least I have the impression that people tend to be much more understanding right now, because so many people are or were in the same boat. And sometimes clients don't even expect such a fast turnaround. At least that was my experience.
So were you able to work at all during the lockdown then? I mean, you couldn't have your son go to your mother 6 hours a day.
No, of course not. But we found some different strategies and made it work that way. So I was able to actually work while he was here. I'll share that with you in a minute. But I know it's not for everyone, but usually I start my day before my son gets up.
Mm-hmm.
So I get up at 5 in the morning.
Wow.
Kudos
to you.
Well, I go to bed really early as well. Mm-hmm. I go to bed like between 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, 9 is the goal. So that I get 8 hours of sleep. And so I then take some time just for me. Sometimes I read or write in my diary or I do some yoga, whatever. I feel that I need this time to myself, just to set up myself for a good day.
And that is what everybody recommends too. So yes.
Yeah, it is. But it just, whenever people talk about their morning routine, I 1.5 hours of meditation and I don't know, curcuma milk or something, I always think it's that's so beautiful. But it's if I can get in 15 to 30 minutes of, you know, self-care and just time for myself and do something nice, I'm happy with that.
I mean, I don't even have children at home. And for me, it's 10 minutes of meditation and 10 minutes of journaling.
So oh, wow. Yeah.
That's not much.
No, it's not. But it's completely, it makes such a big difference, though.
It does. Yes.
So I do that. And then you asked whether I was able to work during lockdown. And I must say, the lockdown, that completely knocked me, like, mentally. I don't know.
I think it did for many.
Yeah. And it's, I think it took me at least 2 weeks where I didn't actually work at all. So like I signed myself off. I had my out of office responder on and everything. I didn't work. But that wasn't because my son was here. It was just because I needed some time to cope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially with your husband in another country. And
yes, also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because he went over for what was supposed to be a few days for interviews, and then first Germany shut down, and then the UK followed. So, yeah.
So you put your autoresponder on for 2 weeks. How did you do after the 2 weeks?
So I think we found. So honestly, the first few days I spent on Netflix and.
Yep.
I think Henry was just happy to also be at home, I must say. Mm-hmm. So we did play a few games and that, but I was really also tired. And so I did take some time to rest. And then I think we managed to get into this sort of routine where I was then able to, like I said, get up early. And I did make sure I took some time for myself. And then I would get about an hour of work done before he got up, sometimes 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he woke up or I woke him up, the next 2 hours or so are then dedicated to him, getting ready and so on. And then I found that... Before I start working, I found it's key to play with him even just for like 10, 15 minutes, but like really focus one-on-one time.
Yes.
And that's actually something that I learned from a parenting program called Positive Parenting Solutions.
Uh-huh.
I don't know whether anyone's heard of it, but they call it mind, body, and soul time. And I mean, we simply call it breakfast before working. And so that gives him the attention and significance that he needs.
Yeah.
And it's much easier to then get working afterwards because he doesn't need to try to get my attention in negative ways.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So you were able to work while he was at home.
Yes, I then set the timer to an hour. And then I'll tell him that he needs to be quiet for an hour because I need to get some work done and I need to concentrate. And he needs to be quiet for an hour until the timer goes off.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously not the first time around, but but he really sticks to this now. And it's very good. So we've set up this little desk for him next to mine.
Mm-hmm.
And there he sits and he does some coloring or he puts stickers into his diary for a full hour. And I'm able to then really focus on work. And I think, I think many parents can relate. You get really fast with your work if you know that you only have very little time to do it. So,
yes.
Yeah. And then after that, we'll play for a bit. And then depending on how much you know, work I have, we then repeat the thing, and then I set the timer. Sometimes we'll put on a story or music in his room, and then he'll play there for a while. I think it's about seeing what your child likes doing, and of course, depending on the age, looking at what they can do on their own. So mm-hmm. I've also spoken to moms who had smaller children, like around two, and their strategy, so to speak, was to tire the kids out outside in the morning, mm-hmm. and then let them have a long nap at lunchtime and get their work done.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the drawback of that is that you as a mom are then also tired. So yeah, you really need to find something that works for you.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you never worked in the evening then after he went to bed?
I did during the initial time, like after I had gone back to work, but still during lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
But I must say I avoid that now. So I, first of all, because I'm not very productive, and I found that I work much quicker. So I'd actually rather go to bed earlier and get up at four if need be, if I have like a big project or something,
mm-hmm.
Rather than working in the evening once he's gone to bed, because I'm so tired that I work more slowly, and I feel like that's not the best use of my time in the
evening. You're a morning person.
I don't think I am, but it's okay. Funny now because, I don't know whether it's shifted since I had him or something, but yeah, I used to be the person that goes to bed at, I don't know, midnight or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I could also work until 3 o'clock in the morning but that's changed now. I just, maybe because during the day I'm now then also focused on him. During the time that I don't work, maybe my brain is more tired or something. I mm-hmm. don't know. I never used to be a morning person anyway.
Yeah. When my kids were little and my daughter was only in preschool for 2 or 3 hours a day, I worked during that time, of course. But then mm-hmm. I knew when they came home from preschool, I noticed that they needed downtime.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when they could watch a show or listen to a story or just play. And then I might have gotten an hour in there. But mm-hmm. then I did work in the evenings usually after they went to bed.
Okay.
In the beginning. So I think it's just important that we find a solution that works for us.
Yeah, definitely.
Personally.
I mean, yeah, like I said, at the beginning I did that too, but then I found that, it didn't, like it took me so much longer that I thought that's not actually how I want to be spending my time. But then of mm-hmm. course, I know a lot of people actually find that they can work well in the evening because it's nice and quiet. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, like you said, you have to find what works for you.
Yeah. So during this time then, and now that he's back and maybe now it's easier, but when he's back in kindergarten, but how do you carve out time to market your business? Have you been marketing actively during the lockdown? Or not lockdown, but these 6 months pandemic?
Yes. So during the lockdown, no. Now I have started again. Actually, can we go back quickly
sure.
to the productivity tips? Because
yes.
Of course I was also thinking about, you know, switch off all the distractions while working on a translation, you know, mm-hmm. don't go on WhatsApp or Facebook and all of that. But I think we all already know this, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I wanted to share is that what I notice is I'm most productive when I've taken enough time for myself. And I think especially as moms with small kids,
mm-hmm.
We struggle with that. Mm-hmm. And so I just, I think my biggest productivity tip is actually really take time for yourself. Do something fun. Like, even if I've read just a little bit in my book or something, and I mean, you know, reading for pleasure, not reading some kind of self-help book, which I also love, but still, then I can work much faster and I'm also more creative. And I think, yeah, that creates more productivity.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's because otherwise you or I would be distracted and want to go on to Amazon and mm-hmm. shop or just do something for me.
Yeah, true. So,
any other productivity tips or should we talk about marketing?
No, yes, then we can go to marketing.
Okay, good. So you didn't market your business during the first months, but now you've started again. How do you carve out time for that with a little child and being sort of a single parent right now?
So I think it depends on your business. So if you're really busy, I mean, work-wise, and you're happy with that, I think it's fine at a time like this to only do a minimum of marketing. Mm-hmm. Like not no marketing at all, but you know, you can definitely how do I say this now, be a bit more lenient, is that the right word?
Yeah.
And then but if you're not as busy as you'd like to be or as you need to be, then I think, you know, use the tip I gave earlier with the timer or the nap time to carve out some time for marketing your business. And I think we make marketing seem, we make it seem so big that we don't get started somehow.
Yeah.
And I think I don't know, the best thing you can do, I think, is to just, you know, send one email a day or just send one connection request on LinkedIn even. Or if you want to yes. work with agencies, send out one CV. You know, it doesn't have to be much. I think it's much more important that you're, and I know it gets old, but, you know, you need to be consistent.
Yes, I know. So that's why, for me, it's so important to have a marketing plan and then break yeah. it down into little tiny steps.
Yes.
And especially yeah. during this pandemic, I know I fell back on my marketing and I mostly just made sure that I was keeping in touch with my current clients and yeah. serving them.
Yes, and also think of, so like what I did, I had a few marketing agencies that I work with, and because they already know me and they know the work that I can provide, I actually thought about what else I could offer them, because, you know, it's easier to sell a new service to an existing client than it is yes. to find a new client.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. so rather than just offering them translations, I told them that I now do copywriting too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sort of thing I think that makes marketing easier, if you yes. can do that sort of thing.
Yes.
So yep. think about maybe what you can add or offer in terms of service or in terms of value to your client, to your existing client also.
Mm-hmm. So did you consciously have sort of a strategy to market every day or?
No.
Just do it whenever you could.
Yes. I have. So this year I've been a lot more gentle with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get myself to fit into any rigid plans or anything. So mm-hmm. I honestly this year I went much more with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Of course there were times when I knew that okay, I my goal was to, I don't know, send out 3 emails this week and I've only done one.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would sometimes sit down and make myself do the other two. But in general I would then think, you know what? It was just supposed to be one and now I'm going to have my weekend. It mm-hmm. really, I've been a lot, and I don't know whether that's a good thing, I must say, but I feel better for it. So at the moment, that's what works for me.
Did your business, like the amount of projects and money and stuff, suffer?
It did at the beginning, not because of the strategy, though, but because so
because of the pandemic.
But it was, so the translation business was only, or the translation side of my business, let's say it that way, that was only affected like during the initial few weeks, I think, because I had the impression that clients were all trying to find ways to cope with the situation and putting in place new strategies and prioritizing how their employees could work from home and all that kind of thing.
Yes.
And then the translation business sort of went back to normal for me. And the big thing that changed, of course, was that I wasn't able to go into the companies to teach business English anymore. And so that side of the business stopped completely initially. And then a few companies decided to take the courses online, but not all. And so there my income did take a hit. But then I added copywriting to my services, like I said. And I think that's actually... it's something that I've wanted to do for a long time. And this has sort of... pushed me to take the plunge, if you like. I've had some really good feedback and I really enjoy it. So I'm really glad that that this is how it worked out. And I've now actually cancelled all my online courses as well. Because, you know, teaching online still means that I would have to have childcare, and I'm expecting, you know, because they're not now allowed to go to kindergarten even with a runny nose. And so I am expecting a lot less kindergarten during autumn and winter time. And in order to prepare for that, I wanted to make my business as flexible as it could be. And for me, that's translating and copywriting. And so I've said goodbye to that part of the business, which, sometimes I'm quite sad still.
We all have to adjust and adapt to our changing situations. So do you have any tips on how to prioritize family and work, and what is important to focus on?
I found that. So this is a really hard question, I think. How do you prioritize? Because also that's something that everyone has to answer for themselves. So my priority is my family.
Yes.
But I still need to work. So what I try to do is, be fully present with my son when it's his time, and then be fully present at work once I'm working, but of course I'm still a mother while working, and I'm also still an entrepreneur while mothering. And so I found this one really hard. And then actually I think the thing that we need to prioritize, and I know I said this before, is actually self-care, because you can only be fully present and actually create a good family environment and also a good work environment once you've actually taken care of yourself. And
you can't take care of others if you haven't taken care of yourself.
And so I think that needs to be the priority, rather than thinking about should it be the family, should it be work. And I think most people would say it's family. I don't know, maybe that's an assumption, but really the actual priority should be self-care, I think.
So lastly, I just wanted to ask if you have any mindset tips.
So let me go back to the focus, because you also asked, what could you repeat actually? Because you said, what should you focus on?
what is important to focus on as a mother and an entrepreneur?
Yeah, so, and there again, I think that depends on you and your goals. And at least for me, that was actually the most challenging thing during these times, is finding the space and time to just think and to have focused uninterrupted time to think, you know, to actually see what I would want. So because you first need to know what you want in order to know what you should be focusing on. Mm-hmm. And so in general, I think the focus needs to be on self-care, like I said. But mm-hmm. then in terms of the business aspect, I think especially in times like these, you need to focus on the money-generating activities.
Mm-hmm.
And your bottom line. So look at profitability also. Mm-hmm. That's actually one other reason why I decided to give up the business English classes, because in terms of profitability, it wasn't as good as translating or copywriting.
Mm-hmm.
And the aspect that I enjoyed about it was, you know, being with other people and actually going into companies, which is not the case right now. So
mm-hmm.
yeah. And then I think so if you can outsource and delegate, because I think we actually delegate way too late. So see whether you could have, for example, or whether it makes sense for you, but whether you would like to have a virtual assistant to do your invoicing or,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think it also goes for housework too, like having a cleaner frees up so much time and energy.
Yes, it does.
So it's, and we always, or at least I always thought, oh, I can't afford that or something like that. But now I've had a cleaner for the past 10 years and I would never go back. It's just, it's such a nice feeling.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. I know someone told you that you teach this too.
Yes. And you look at your time spent cleaning and the time you could, for me, it was like, look at the time I can spend that time either working and earning money. And if I earn more money during that time, it's worth it. Yes. But I can also, if I feel overwhelmed, that time would be spent, you know, with my family instead. So
yes, definitely. And it's, I think we can't underestimate the amount of energy this takes up. Even the feeling of overwhelm, that takes up energy and space, and it makes you less productive in your work. So I do think you actually manage to earn more somehow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then in terms of profitability, go through your pricing and see what you can improve. Because the more money you earn during the amount of time that you work, of course, the more time you get to spend with your kids also.
Yes. Yes.
And I think that's a pretty big discussion at the moment, because I've had several translators tell me that their clients reduced their prices to COVID prices or something like that. And so I really encourage everyone to look at that and see whether that's something you feel good with, or that you, even if you think, I can't, you know, ditch that client, then I think that's where you need to carve out more time for your marketing, because not every client has reduced their prices and not every client has the necessity to reduce their prices either.
No, and it's so hard to go back.
Yes.
It's like you're devaluing your services. So,
yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Yes.
Any mindset tips before we wrap up?
Yeah, sure. So you said mindset tips for growing a successful career while also being a good mother.
Yes.
So I think, well, first of all, define what being a good mother means to you, because try to do that without so many expectations of society and everything else. I think it's very hard to, to define that, because there's also so much mom guilt. I don't know whether that's, is that a thing in the US too?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. And then, of course, define what successful career means to you. So, I mean, I want to be able to pay myself a good salary. And again, there you have to see what that means to you. So I want to be able to pay my bills, have some savings, and then also travel and take time off, you know, travel once that's possible again. And now my goal is actually to buy a house. And so that... plays into my how I set my prices and how I choose my clients and all of that.
And then it's good to have a specific goal to have in mind when you do offer your services and set your prices.
Yes, definitely. Also, it then gets really exciting, rather than, you know, dreading the old price negotiations. Well, for me, it's more the pricing negotiations rather than the marketing as such. But I guess it's part of that. So, but you have your goal in mind, I think it just makes the whole thing more exciting. And then, of course, I want to work with clients that I love and do work that I enjoy and actually have fun too. So, and then I want to be able to spend a lot of quality time with my son, where I'm not actually tired and stressed out from work. And I want to be very conscious about that too. So,
For me, it's my tip is to not fall for the victim mentality and just think that there are no clients that can afford my rates. This is the proof they want to lower my rates, or they say they can't accept my rates. Instead of going out and thinking, there are clients out there, I just need to find them.
Yes. I think that's the thing with the mind, right? Because we have these ideas, and then our mind automatically goes out and finds, quote unquote, facts. That sort of prove these ideas, or prove that these ideas are true. And I think if we can change what we tell ourselves, our mind then also automatically goes out and looks for proof for that, because that's just what the mind does. And then it gets much easier.
Yes.
So yeah, I think you made a good point there. It's don't get into the whole fear-based thing, which I agree is much harder at the moment. But there are definitely still clients out there who have work and who pay for that work and who value what you have to offer.
Yes. Okay, Anna. You are also, this must be a passion project, I believe, or is it an income project? For me, the podcast and the marketing training is a passion project more. Tell us a bit about Financial Success Summit, and are you doing another one?
I am, actually, yes. Thanks for bringing that up. So the Financial Success Summit for Translators is is definitely a passion project. I started with the Marketing Success Summit in 2019 and have since retermed it Financial Success Summit, because I think the marketing activities contribute to our financial success, and financial success to me is not actually just about the money. It actually means living the kind of life that you imagine for yourself. And having money to me means options and freedom. And so, yeah, basically it's an online conference where you can learn more about different marketing strategies and also pricing strategies. And the next one will take place in November this year, actually. So on the 16th, which is a Monday. And registration will start by the end of October. And it's a free event. You can upgrade to a paid version if you'd like to have access to the recordings, lifetime access. And yes, it's
so if I put a link to the previous Financial Success Summit, will that then?
Yes. So I will be check it out. Yes, definitely.
Okay.
I will be changing the dates and everything on there soon. So if you register for that one, then you'll definitely get a notice email when the next one is up.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Moira. I think it's been a great discussion and a lot of good tips. And I know I started out freelancing as a freelance translator because of my children. They were small, and I slowly grew my business as my children grew. And I can attest that it's not always easy, but it's well worth it. And
yes.
Many people go into freelancing because they want to spend more time with their children. And that's a wonderful thing. But making a living and taking care of your children at the same time is not always easy. So it's good to get some tips on how other people are doing it, especially now during the pandemic. And children are our biggest responsibility. And freelancing isn't a breeze either. So the combining the two requires both planning and adjustments. So thank you for your tips, Moira.
Thank you, Tess, for having me. And thanks everyone for listening.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you found a lot of valuable insights. We would love to hear from you what you think, and you can comment in the show notes or email us. And the show notes will be found at marketingtipsfortranslators.com/the episode number. And I think this is going to be episode 257. So you can go check it out. Thank you again. If you like the episode, please subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app. You can so you don't miss any episodes, and you can also there leave me a review and share the episode with anyone else that might benefit from it. Any reviews help me for first of all to keep going, and also shows the podcast provider that this is a podcast worth sharing, and it helps the algorithm. So thank you. I will put all the links to Moira and the Financial Success Summit and to more resources for freelancing parents in the show notes, marketingtipsfortranslators.com/257. Thanks again, and I will see you in the next episode. Hey there! Before you go, I wanted to tell you about an upcoming workshop on September 23rd. This 3-hour workshop is for all of you who want more work from translation agencies. If you've applied to a lot of translation agencies and not heard back, the reasons can be many. But after coaching and consulting many freelance translators, I have noticed some easy things that you can do right now to increase your chances. So in this workshop, I help you develop a resume that sells and a cover letter that makes project managers want to open your resume and register you in their database. I also give you instructions and tips on how to create and optimize a translation database profile. And I also give you resources for where to find good agencies to work for and tips for how to apply to them. Get immediate feedback and ask questions in this workshop. Learn how to avoid all the mistakes and get work from good translation agencies. These are all tried and true techniques from my own experience, plus from helping many other freelance translators. This is a live workshop where you will get instant feedback and answers to your questions. So it's a limited space, so sign up early. You can also get the recording. So go to marketingtipsfortranslators.com/marketing-workshop-agencies for more information and to sign up. Thank you for listening to Marketing Tips for Translators. I hope you found some good tips to apply to your freelance career. If you did, a great way to show this is by leaving a review on your favorite podcast listening app or to share the episode with other colleagues. Do you have a topic, question, or a guest you would like to hear about here? Send me an email to podcast@marketingtipsfortranslators.com.